You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together are studying the Word of God. I thank you here for taking this time. God bless you. Lord, thank you for all these listeners today. Lord, bless each and every person that's downloaded or has tuned in here to this broadcast. Speak to them today through your word. We know where you speak. Lord, speak to all these listeners today through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're continuing with this theme. This is a new Bible study. We're looking at the book of Revelation verse by verse. And prior to just blowharting through this, I want to share a couple truths with you. And that is, we need to interpret this book literally when possible. Now, perhaps you say, oh, how can we take someone with seven heads and 10 horns and interpret that literally? Well, that you can't. But the meaning and the understanding of this stuff should be pretty easy when you know the other books of the Bible. When we see in Revelation chapter 13, I think it's verse 11, when it says, I saw a beast coming up out of the earth with two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now God expects you to know that. You see, God expects you to know the playbook, you see. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, if your name is in the book of life, if you call Jesus Christ Lord, God expects you to know his playbook. Can you imagine that? Here it is. You're in the Super Bowl. It's 4th and 3 on the 30-yard line. You're down by 2 points. And now, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ on the sideline is going to call an audible, and he gives you the play. It's a load 38 on 3. What do you do as the quarterback? Do you say, all right? Or do you say, well, I don't know that play? Too many Christians don't know that play. And God expects you to know it, you see. He expects you to know the playbook. I asked the question yesterday, are you a professional Christian? God expects you to know the playbook. And when you do, then understanding this will come easy as pie. When we see someone with two horns like a lamb and speaks like a dragon, we know the references to the lamb. It goes all the way back to Abraham. When there was a lamb caught in the thicket, and he said to his son, God will provide the... Well, in that case, burnt offering. Back to Exodus and the Passover. Even the scapegoat. And we read, the Lord laid on him, that is the Son of God, the iniquity of us all. God expects you to know that. When you see the scapegoat that they laid all the sins on and sent him out into the wilderness, God expects you to know that. Then when you read in Revelation, someone with two horns like a lamb, I mean, when I read that, John the Baptist just screams out to me, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So I see someone with two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he sees the dragon, that serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, he who deceives the whole world and bound him for 1,000 years. We're looking here this week, why interpret this book literally and the consequences for not interpreting it literally. Next verse. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and locked him and sealed it over him so that he should deceive the nations no more until, now it says the 1,000 years. Notice the definite article. See, God wants it to be plain and clear to you so there's no mistaking it. The 1,000 years. Again, he cast him into the bottomless pit and locked and sealed it over him, so that he should deceive the nations no longer until the 1,000 years were finished. But after that, he must be released for a short time. Verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of those who had been beheaded on account of the testimony of Jesus and on account of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they did not receive the mark on their forehead or on their right hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for the 1,000 years. You see, friend, the definite article there, T-H-E, therefore, it absolutely insists on you interpreting this verse literally. You can't spiritualize this when the definite article is there. The 1,000 years. This is Jesus, the Christ. We read the Antichrist, the. Back to Genesis chapter 17. I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. The Almighty God. Here you have the 1,000 years. You can't spiritualize this text. Now, I singled out two groups for the simple reason of showing you, because I want you to see why people believe what they believe. And the problem with the Presbyterians, you see, now many of them don't even know what they believe. First off, because they don't even know the playbook. They don't know the playbook. People just go to church because it's Sunday and you go to church, but you don't know what you believe. I want to tell you, and I am telling you, if you go to a Presbyterian church, what the hierarchy of the church believe. They are what's known in theology as amillennialists. A in front of any word negates it. That is, they don't believe in the millennium. But you say, it says we reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It says Satan is locked up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's right. But those groups and others don't interpret this book literally. And that opens up a huge can of worms for trouble you can get in when you don't interpret the book literally. And it's plain and clear here to see. These people here, they came to life and reigned with Christ for the 1,000 years. And now, those groups that don't believe in the millennium, there's lots of other things they don't believe in either. They don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They don't believe that there's an Antichrist to come into the future because they believe all that's already happened. They think Nero was the Antichrist. I encourage you to do some look and some research on this to see if what I tell you is true. Many of them don't believe in God's future plan for Israel for this specific reason here, is that many of those groups that I just mentioned to you, the Catholics and the Presbyterians, and I know there's others, they believe in what's known again in theology as replacement theology. That is that the church replaced Israel as the apple of God's eye. And I'm here to tell you, no, that's not true. But you get to that point because you don't interpret this book literally. That's how you run into these problems. God is not done dealing with the nation of Israel. Why interpret literally? Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. That's meganoito. God forbid. What are you, crazy? He says. This is a vain, he says in Greek, meganoito. This is a vain coming out of his forehead, fist slamming absolute, emphatic declaration, are you out of your mind? God's not done dealing with Israel. Again, I say then, has God cast away his people? By no means. For I too am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Prognosko, like prognosis is the Greek word. Doctor, what's your prognosis? In other words, when you see foreknew here, it means God knew all this was going to happen before it happened. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. He knows the ending from the beginning, he says in Isaiah, and all throughout the Bible. This didn't catch him by surprise. God's not done dealing with the nation of Israel. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says in Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. What is God's reply to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God's not done dealing with Israel, but you run into this problem when you don't interpret the book literally. God has got a plan for Israel. Why don't we see them believe? Is it because he's cast them off? No. Follow me here. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 25. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant or, you know, puffed up with pride. That is, by thinking that you're better than the Jews because you believe and they don't. Paul says, don't think that way, friend. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits. In other words, don't be conceited. Don't think you're better than the Jews. Don't think you replace the Jews, because you don't. God's got a plan. He's had it since everlasting. It hasn't changed. God has not forsaken his people. He's not cast away his people whom he's foreknew. Again, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery or ignorant, brothers, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until, notice that word, I'm in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. God's not done dealing with Israel. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Regarding the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But regarding election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable, meaning God does not change his mind. How'd we end up there? I just want to show you how other groups who don't interpret this book literally, don't take it, I say apples and oranges, you know, we compare apples and oranges, and I say, you know, when you see something plain and clear like that, and it means something else to you, then all of your theology is going to be messed up. Now, starting tomorrow, we're going to get into chapter 1, verse 1. And I wanted to set the stage, and we have, for why, if possible, we're going to take these things in this book for exactly for what they say, and how we're going to use the knowledge we've accumulated throughout the years of knowing the other 65 books to help us to interpret this one. Thanks again for joining us. This is WGOD Radio. Remember, friends, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let's you and I make a difference out there today.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at wgodontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at